This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It's Pride Month, and yet this week a major decision from the US Defence Secretary is making headlines for all the wrong reasons. Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth has ordered the Navy to remove Harvey Milk's name from one of its ships. And Milk was a civil rights icon. And this move has been confirmed by officials as deliberately timed. So why now? What message does it send? And why are so many people furious?
Gender, sexuality and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
This story has exploded in the last 24 hours. What exactly has the Defence Secretary ordered?
Yeah, so they've said that there's a ship. It's a specific kind of vessel. It's called an oiler, and it's currently under maintenance, and it's named after Harvey Milk. And he was a gay rights campaigner through the 70s. He was California's first openly gay member. So that idea of it being a commemorative ship and named after someone in their honour, that's now going to be changed. So they have claimed, the government are claiming that they're reviewing the names of a number of ships, but interestingly, the only one they've actually announced that they are going to rename is the Harvey Milk one. And they did it at the start of June, June having been for at least a quarter of a century known as Pride Month in the United States, but also around the world. So it feels that it is distinctly timed, and it wasn't one name among many ships being renamed. It was the only one that has been announced that it will be renamed.
And it's not just activists who are upset, is it? We've seen really strong responses from people like Nancy Pelosi and California's governor as well. What are they saying?
Yeah, so there's a number of concerns here about erasing parts of history, because we know this isn't actually just hyperbole. Since Trump came in January, there have been a number of different attempts by the government to erase certain parts of history. Now, whether that's the history of women, the history of gay activists, the history of black people, there's lots of different pieces of content that seems to be now deleted from government websites, so you can't find information on things. So there's partly this question of, is this about erasing part of California's history? We know, for example, California being a progressive state. Is it about deleting parts of gay history and gay activism? And is it also, again, about this constant refrain from this government that they're not interested in diversity, equity and inclusion? Because once we start down on that path, it's not just about inclusion, it's actually about conspicuously excluding people who are from marginalized groups. And that seems not only to be anti-DEI, but aggressively marginalizing.
We're with Lauren Rosewarne talking about the US Navy's decision to rename the Harvey Milk, which is a ship named for a civil rights trailblazer and Navy veteran as well. Well, the timing, I mean, you're right, Lauren, it's right at the start of Pride Month. It sparked strong criticism. Love to know your thoughts as well. The text number 0427 569 949. Lauren, there's a lot of talk from the Pentagon about reflecting a warrior ethos.
Yes.
But Harvey Milk served in the Navy.
Right. But, so this is Pete Hegseth, the current secretary, who, it's probably worth noting, his whole reason for his own military career ending was because of accusations from people within his own unit of him being an extremist and having white supremacist views. That aside, he wrote a book that actually has warrior in the title. He has this belief, and you'll hear it in his rhetoric where he constantly talks about military readiness and the warrior ethos, that his vision of an American soldier is a certain kind of person. And generally speaking, it's going to be male, it's going to be white, it's going to be straight. And that idea of what constitutes a warrior means Harvey Milk, despite Harvey Milk's own naval career, isn't the warrior that the United States is envisaging itself to have. And that then gets to justify any of these crackdowns, such as the banning of transgender people in the military, because this is this ethos that we want to be battle ready, and battle ready is about warriors using the template of who we are imagining the warrior to be.
I mean, aren't they shooting themselves in the foot, though? Because, I mean, they're excluding a whole group of people that are smart and capable and could probably add a lot to the defence of the United States.
Who are adding a lot already.
Exactly.
And
you're
have
right.
been.
You're right.
And who want to be there. This is the other thing which I think this story is really... I mean, there's lots, obviously, wrong with this story. And it's playing into a lot of established prejudices in the US. But the big thing for me, it has been decades of the military having low levels of recruiting. No one wants to join. So one could argue when someone actually does put their hand up and say, hang on, I do want to be a warrior and fight for this country, would you not think, provided that they meet the requirements in terms of physical abilities, do we not want them? This is where this becomes really problematic, because it's the same country that doesn't want conscription, that doesn't want to force people into the military. Fine, I agree with that. But then, hang on, you want to be the greatest military in the world. How will you staff it?
With the greatest
Kicking people out?
Exactly.
Now, this is the thing, though. The people that they want in the military don't want to join. And that's another part of this story, because there's also a very strong class element to who's in the US military. You know, it's not populated largely by very, very wealthy or well-educated people.
This we'd love to know your thoughts. 0427-569-949. Dan in Fitzroy says, disgraceful. Milk served his country. This is pure politics.
Okay, now, I'll play... I mean, devil's advocate's not the right word here, because it's not as though I'm wanting to do this for a sport. But the counter argument to that is that the very naming of the vessel after Milk was political itself. So Obama, when in his last year of government, he put in a number of ships, or he passed a bill that renamed a number of ships with names of activists. Historically, ships normally aren't named after people. They're named after battles. They're named after places. They're named after, when they're named after people, they're named after former presidents. So there is the argument, I'm not saying I agree with this, but there is the argument that this is about reverting to standards of how ships used to be named, as opposed to the politicisation that conservatives are saying Obama brought in.
Max says Harvey Milk died for what he believed in. They can't erase that legacy, which is true, but they can do a lot of damage, can't they?
They can do damage, but they can also, which they're already doing online subtly and not so, is reminding people, well, hang on, Harvey left, or Milk left the military under problematic circumstances. Now, well, hang on, the reason he left is once that it was found out that he was homosexual, he was asked, I think the phrasing is, not dishonorable discharge. It's a strange phrasing, but it's not dishonorable, but it's not honorable either, where at that time where it was illegal. So that idea of muddying his legacy is part of what's being actively done here, where there's almost a selling that this man was never worthy of being celebrated this way in the first place. And this is, again, part of this government's issue with not only the LGBT population in general, but erasing contributions, because their belief is those contributions were not good in the first place.
We're chatting with Lauren Rosewarne, talking about the US Navy's decision to rename the Harvey Milk. What are your thoughts? 0427 Joy 949. Zoe says, this has Trump written all over it. Sad and petty.
Well, they did say, though, when they came into office, we're not interested in celebrating dedicated months, right? They weren't interested in Black History Month. They're not interested in Pride Month. So the idea, we're seeing this as a sort of, you know, shiv in the ribs kind of thing by doing this renaming in Pride Month. They're doing it in Pride Month because what's Pride Month to them? They don't care. And there is obviously a statement in this that just how much we don't care is shown through this action.
Jules, as a queer vet, this feels like erasure, which is what you were talking about before, Lauren.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's something to be said here. I mean, there have been, it's kind of like you, when you hear conservatives say, why are there suddenly trans people? As though there's not been people who are transgender throughout history. Mm. And it's the same thing. There is a very, very, very long history of the broader queer population within every single branch of the military in every country. It's just that depending on the legal situation of the day, whether they can be out. And this is part of that story of pretending that any of the gay, trans, etc., people in any of the armed services branch, that somehow they're not in line with who we consider to be a warrior, and therefore we don't need to talk about them, we don't need to honour them, we don't need to even respect them. In fact, we can actually aggressively ask them to leave, which is what they're doing right now with transgender people.
Matt in Coburg says, history will remember Harvey, not Hegseth.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to remember Hegseth, I want us to remember Hegseth in his full entirety of what he's done, but also his own checkered military past, which I think is what I think gets really under my skin, where he's trying to tell people what constitutes a warrior, and yet the reason he left himself was because of things that I would be considering to be really in conflict with what it means to be a warrior, including extremism and white supremacy.
Lauren, I'm feeling for the queer people in the military that, like you said, want to be there. I mean, imagine how they're feeling with this sort of rhetoric going on.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a situation where you're feeling like I'm doing a public service.
For my country.
Right? For my country, for not about lining my own pockets, because no one goes into the military to make their fortune, and yet this is the way you're told you're valued, or in this case, not so, because you're not the vision. And it's not just, it is absolutely queer people in the military, but it's also women, because Hegseth has already been really explicit about him not thinking that women should be in combat roles. He's already said that on the record, because again, his template vision of what a warrior is doesn't include women, doesn't include queer people.
Lauren, always good to chat with you. Thank you so much for joining
about
us.
About yet another horrible topic.
But it's important.
Bring back the cake. Let's bring back the caramel slice story so that we both don't get an ulcer.
I think we'll do that next week. Just one more that has just come in saying,
yes.
I think there's an ulterior reason behind this. If you remove from the military individuals with a broader perspective on the world directly or who leave in protest, then you have a more concentrated core of individuals who would be more willing to enforce more extreme measures as dictated by the president.
Yeah. And actually, this is actually part of the same rhetoric you hear in why are they wanting to remove certain books from schools? Because once you don't expose people to ideas that challenge your own, they're more pliable and they're more exactly what that message says, willing to execute your vision.
Lauren, jam on Lamingtons or not?
We will talk next week. I told you, I'm pro-donut.
You're pro-donut. Catch you next week. Thanks, Lauren.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Lauren.
Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne. Join us every Thursday here on Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.